Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home for your next Disney or Universal vacation, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. Show's also being brought to you by American Tourist Travel. Let us book your next Disney vacation, Universal vacation, or any other vacation you can dream of at americantouristtravel.com. Show's also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for Disney World, Universal Studios, or anywhere else in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. And our last sponsor is David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay at the Boardwalk, the Yacht and Beach Club, the Wilderness Lodge, the Animal Kingdom, Old Key West, Saratoga, you know them all, guys. Contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at dvcrentals.com. And now on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy, Dan. Hey, Dan, pull up a stool.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
Good. And we're also joined here at the Main Street Pub, because if it wasn't a pub, John wouldn't even be here. We're joined by John Peters. How you doing, John?
Good. How we doing, fellas?
We're doing pretty well. Happy Father's Day, guys.
Happy Father's Day,
too. Thank you.
I know you don't have any kids, but you got a dog, so sometimes that's almost as close, right? So happy Father's Day back at you. So,
and I got a rebellious 17-year-old, my mother-in-law. she's like my child around here. That's how me and my wife treat her. We baby her like our child, believe it or not, and I'm glad we can do it for her. She has a nice little retirement with us, so I'm taking care of her, so I'm doing some. So you guys ready for Father's Day?
Yeah, I am.
Don't answer it once, both of you at once, guys. I mean,
both trying
you're
to
still
be polite.
You guys sound like you're sleeping in today for Father's Day.
I'm looking for a nice, easy day. And we had a little party for my future son-in-law. His getting out of the service party yesterday. So we had about 25 people over the house all day and night yesterday. So we're in recovery mode today anyway. So it's going to be good to have a nice day with nothing much to do and nobody around.
Well, tell him thank you for his service and congratulations on that. And I know that also means it's... Now all the focus is going to be headed towards your wedding, right, Dan?
Yeah. They really started planning in earnest now, and that was the last big hurdle to kind of wrap up his service and focus on those other things. So it was a good day yesterday to celebrate a little bit and move on to bigger and better things, as they say.
So was everybody enjoying that beautiful new patio you made?
Yeah, it worked out good. It was well used, and we had a little fire. I told you I got one of those little cookery things there where you can build a fire slash have a grill. So we did the s'mores and the whole nine yards, so it worked out well.
You were pretending you were at Disney with the s'mores, right?
Yeah. It was nice, though, to see the fruits of my labor pay off. Hey, as you know, Doug, I've been working on it for the last week and a half, and I got it done just under the wire. I spread some crushed stone Saturday morning, mere hours before everyone got there. So I procrastinated right to the end, but I pulled it off and got it done.
Dude, you have no idea how many times I've done remodel projects here before Christmas and the holidays, right. And I'm still worrying about the wet paint in the rooms when everybody gets here. I'll be honest, I'm glad the patio's over because you've been pretty miserable when I'm calling you during the week lately.
Yeah, I don't like that working all day and working at night, and I don't have a pickup truck or anything anymore, so I was doing the homeowner special, going up, getting 10 tile bricks at a time and plugging them down and, just the typical homeowner deal. It made it more difficult than it needed to be.
Don't you guys have the $20 truck rental?
Depot? But I can't be bothered with that. I started, doing it by hand, I guess, or doing it, and I was like, well, maybe I just need 10 more and 10 more, and, five loads into it, I was like, yeah, I should have got the truck, but, it sounds good after the fact,
Yeah, I rent that thing for a lot of things for the $20.
Yeah, I could have just.
I got one time because I had to move some furniture around the corner for a client. Yeah. And you have to purchase some.
Right.
So I purchased two cans of spray paint that I needed and rented the truck, right? And they're trying to tell me I can't do that. I said, why can't I do that? Because I had to move some. I needed a flatbed.
Yeah.
So I rented the truck with the two cans of spray paint.
So
they love me.
what is the deal with any purchase? You get, you can use a truck for X amount. Is that how the...
Yeah, for, yeah, it's like for the first 90 minutes, it's $20 if you purchase something from the store.
Got you.
So we had to take something. We were redoing a remodel, and the customer needed a piano and something else moved around. I forget what it was, a piano, like this hutch, right, and a couple other things moved around the corner. It was to the daughter's house. They were giving the furniture to the daughter.
Right.
So instead of renting the U-Haul or whatever, I said, dudes, we'll just give them $20 and take the Home Depot truck. And that's exactly what we did.
Oh, that was a good idea.
Oh, they love me for it. I take care of my customers. Home Depot didn't, but
yeah.
Oh, well. So what are you doing for Father's Day, Johnny?
I'm going to play some video games with my son. I think we get a couple hours of that, maybe some Madden and some Star Wars Infinity, and then grilling steaks tonight, and then somehow my son's managed to talk me into watching the pay-per-view wrestling with him tonight, so I'm going to do that. So,
well, the look of your picture on Skype here with those five beers and that look, you look like you could be one of the wrestlers.
Yeah, that's my Inker mustache I had going on at that time. What bar is that there, Doug, or what restaurant is that?
It's a Rose and Crown.
Hey, all right.
Yay. We'll call you Draft Man.
Yeah, that's the beer flight I had there. That was the time that I went and I got the beer flight, and it was actually there. And then, like I told you the last time we went, they didn't have any drafts going on. The draft system was down. I couldn't even have a beer with my
So that would be your whole character. I'd be your man. I'd be your, like, manager. And what we would do is pretend somebody stole your beer. And you enter the ring, and you're trying to get it back. And that'd be, they cut the draft off at his local tavern.
What will
he do next? That sounds like a plan. We could put WDW Main Street Pub logos on you. We could have some fun with that, John. You just got to bulk up a little bit more.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, John, it's the quality time you're going to spend with him anyway. So regardless of wrestling or whatever you might be doing, the fact you're spending some time together on Father's Day is a good thing, right?
Yeah. The fondest memory I have is when my son, I think he was three, and we just had one of those dinky wade pools, you know, you have when you're small.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think we sat out there probably for 5 hours in that stupid pool, and both of us got barbecued and sunburnt, but it's still one of the, you know, when I think of Father's Day, that's the day I think of, me and him just out in that pool all day.
That's an awesome memory.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Maybe we can get a Solar Cane advertisement for your sponsorship out of this one, John.
Exactly.
I'll tell you what, last night, man, we had some fresh Jersey peppers on the grill. We did stuffed peppers, and we did them with Spanish rice. We shredded chicken, fresh corn, fresh red onion on the grill. Oh, my God, were they good. The Spanish rice and the shredded chicken with fresh corn, the whole nine yards. It was some good eating last night, guys.
Sounds good. Sounds good.
Yeah,
it does. They were some of the best, because usually you stuff peppers with ground beef.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and we've never done them with chicken before. We had chicken left over that I grilled a few nights ago. So we shredded all the chicken. We got the rice. We got the Spanish rice. We got, you know, some cumin, some cayenne pepper, just a tiny, tiny bit that you don't even really notice it. And we got the Spanish rice, the cayenne pepper, the cumin, salt, pepper, fresh corn, and then we blended it all together, if you follow me, and stuffed the peppers with it. Oh, my God, was that good.
Sounds
I want to
awesome.
Go and get another one. It was really, really good, man.
Yeah, this weekend, usually Father's Day weekend, I'm sure you're a few weeks ahead of me, Doug, and John, you have them probably year-round, but the local strawberries, fresh strawberries, are just hit, so we got about 5 quarts of them sitting around the house. They're so good when you get those the local fresh strawberries. They're just so awesome.
Oh, what I do with them, Dennis, is I get the fresh strawberries, the fresh blueberries, and I get crushed ice, I get a banana, and then I put it in that vanilla soy milk and make a shake out of it. It is so good. And with you getting in shape, walking and everything else like that, then,
mm-hmm.
And I use it when I was, because I put on a few at one time, not much, but when I feel like I'm getting, because I feel it when I'm doing construction. If I put a little on, it hurts me. My back starts to hurt. So instead of eating treats, that's one of the things I do, and it's like a milkshake, but everything in it's good for you, and there's no calories in it whatsoever.
Yeah, Yeah, no, that sounds awesome. I'll have to try that. I actually switched over to, I drink almond milk now, so I don't even drink regular milk. I can't tell the difference, or I've been drinking it so much, I don't miss milk at all. So I could use that and make that smoothie, just like you just said.
Yeah, get fresh ice, fresh bananas, strawberries, blueberries, and put the pour the almond milk over. You can even get the vanilla-flavored almond milk.
Yeah, they have all different flavors now.
Pour that over, then crush it up. I'm telling you, you'll love it.
Yeah.
It's as good as any milkshake I've ever had. And it's good for you. And I feed them to my mother-in-law because she is diabetic, but it's all natural sugar.
Right, right.
You understand? So she can have them. We give her a small glass. It's like... You couldn't pry that glass out of her hand once you hand it to her, because she's actually getting something that's real, if you follow me, and she loves it. You should try that, John.
Right.
What do you think, John? Where did John go? Did we lose him?
Yeah. You're dropping off there. Yeah, oh, no,
yeah,
can you hear me?
You went totally dead for about 10 seconds. I don't know what happened.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I said John should try that. He would really love it.
Sounds good.
So... Well, we got to get in to some news in Central Florida there, Johnny. I know things have been very sad for you down there.
Yeah, it's been a very rough week. A really rough week with a lot of terrible news coming out. So.
Yeah, they say it comes in threes, and you got hit with three bad ones, and we feel really bad for everybody down there. I mean, the poor singer, she was actually from New Jersey. That was sad, and then you had the poor shooting at the nightclub, and then you had the gator attack. I mean, it doesn't get much worse than that.
No, it's been a rough week for Disney and in Central Florida in general. One of the guys that got shot at the nightclub was actually a team member at Universal on the Harry Potter ride. So they had a touching tribute to him out at the Hogwarts Castle and stuff like that. So just a terrible events have been occurring down here, and hopefully we're past it and we can hopefully get on with the enjoyment of the summer. So
no, I feel horrible. It's like and then everybody at work is talking to me about it because they know I'm the guy that walks around with Disney playing on my phone and stuff like that. And did you hear about the gator and all this stuff? And I'm I feel horrible for what happened to this family and this poor two-year-old. I mean, bless his soul. I mean, you see his picture on social media and stuff like that. You feel horrible for him. And then I'm trying to explain what's going on down there, and they're asking. They're like, I'm trying to defend Disney in some ways, and it's hard to defend. You're trying to be right down the middle of the fence because you could see both sides of what's going on. You just feel horrible for everyone involved, is the way I look at it.
Yeah. And unfortunately, regardless of what happens, what didn't happen, what should have been done, what will be done in the future, nothing at all is going to bring that kid back. And it's unfortunate. I mean, you know, I've had people tell me, you know, oh, Disney should have to pay, you know, $1 billion. And, you know, that's fine. And Disney can afford to pay it. And it's
they will
not gonna,
take care of it.
Yeah, and it's not going to affect them. But that family is going to be psychologically damaged for life, regardless of whether they get, you know, $7 million or $50 million, it doesn't matter.
Bring that poor little boy back.
Exactly. So, you know, Disney will do the right thing, and from a monetary perspective, you know, do what they can to ease the pain. But again, to reiterate, nothing is going to bring that kid back, and that's the only thing that would, you know, make that family whole again, and it's just not going to happen. So it is unfortunate. You know, I guess from my perspective, and this is just me looking at it before the fact, if you can put yourself in the mindset before this, you know, horrible incident happened. I mean, being on social media over the years and being a Disney freak that I am, I did find it interesting when occasionally, I can remember one specifically, there was this picture, and if you type it in, you probably pull it up, but there was an alligator, a little alligator, like a little 18-inch, 24-inch alligator in one of the waterways at Splash Mountain. And John, I don't know if you ever recall seeing that one or, you know, seeing of it, but, you know, I knew in a general sense, being from the Northeast, I mean, I find alligators and the wildlife kind of interesting down in Florida, and I always wondered about that with the freshwater around, you know, Disney World, but I got to say that I would never in a million years have thought, this is just me personally, and maybe it's, you know, foolish on my part, you know, I know that they have trapping, or Disney has it, what would they call it?
they, catch and release.
Because they have that wildlife.
They relocate them.
I had read they either relocate them down to the Everglades or even that wildlife preserve that they have. I think it's like 30 or 40 miles outside of Disney World proper. But, you know, but I thought we were dealing with small little, you know, alligators. I never would have thought that there was an alligator of that size there. I've never seen any. I mean, I've never heard of any that big there. And I'd be interested to hear what, you know, John says or what he knows of it. I was kind of surprised that a gator that big. In fact, I'd go this far. When I was visiting with Bob and Mary over at Coronado Springs a year or so ago, you know, they were... You know, we were talking about it because they were out there and they said, oh, we're going to have some excitement tonight. And I said, oh, yeah, what's that? They said, yeah, they've been trying to catch this gator in that, the bay there at the Coronado Beach.
Yeah, the lake.
You know, and they said, yeah, he's, you know, everybody named him around the resort. You know, it's kind of like this thing. But, you know, I never saw him and I didn't really know how big he was. I have no idea. But I guess I got to learn that, you know, gators are on property, but again, to the extent of the size of that this one apparently was, I would have never guessed that Disney would, you know, I guess it's hard to catch them, right? But I don't know, I just wouldn't have thought there'd be a gator that big there, but that's just my perception.
Well, I think the one that they ended up killing several of them that were in the Seven Seas Lagoon, and most of them were 4 to 6 feet long, and about 4 feet is where they decide that they're a danger to or a possible danger. And that's the ones that they usually will catch. And up to that point, like that one you were saying that was in Splash Mountain, they probably would have just caught him and released him back into one of the other lakes. And up to that point, they usually, especially around here on golf courses and stuff like that, they won't mess with them until they're a size. And the important thing, unfortunately, I mean, all of the waterways at Disney are almost every one of them is interconnected. So if they removed 6 gators that they found in the Seven Seas Lagoon, that doesn't mean that there aren't some over in World Showcase or in the, you know, in the World Showcase Lagoon or in Crescent Lake or in one of them other ways. And on top of that, alligators can walk. I mean, they can get up and leave one pond and go to another. So they could eradicate every gator that is on Disney property. And, you know, there could be 5 of them in a Orange Grove pond 2 miles away. And, right. Yeah, when the mood strikes them right, especially during mating season, they're just going to hop right up and walk right over to find another spot. And right, when the male gators get to a certain size, they go out and they look for their own spot because they want to be the bull gator and you know, in their territory. So the males get to a certain size and they go looking for new places. So even if they got rid of everyone on property now, within 3 or 4 years late, you know, you're going to have a gob of them there again. And I think the important...
I'm sorry, John, but the thing of it is they can't get rid. I mean, it would ruin the whole ecosystem. Disney is eco-friendly, like they believe it. They wanted to keep those parks, like they wanted to keep it to where the whole animal community stays the same. They don't want to mess with the whole ecosystem down there. So if they get rid of all theirs, then it's going to be in the backyards of everybody else's. There's a million gators in Central Florida, is what they say.
Yeah, and I mean, the Seven Seas...
In Florida.
Yeah, in the state of Florida, there's over a million. But the you know, the Seven Seas Lagoon and Crescent Lake, they have brim, they have bass, they have catfish, they have turtles. And if you're going to have that natural food supply in there, which you do have to have if you're going to have a nice, normal Central Florida lake, you're going to attract things that are going to eat those, which are going to be the gators. And, I mean, I think the important thing to remember is that to not feed them. I mean, most gators, or especially the ones out here where I live on the Withlacoochee River, they see a human or they see a boat and they turn around and they go the other direction. But that's because as a Florida, you know, a Florida resident, it's ingrained in your mind that you do not feed the alligators. That's one of the most dangerous things you can ever do. And if, you know, maybe the bungalow is being put out there at the Polynesian or something like that, if there were people out there and they were just, you know, throwing a leftover cheeseburger or something like that to the gators, that gets rid of their natural shyness around humans, and that makes them problematic, dangerous gators. So.
And they associate you know, people with a food source.
Yeah, exactly.
And then they're apt to be, you know, not scared and go the other way, like you said.
Exactly.
Yeah, 'cause I heard one of the other problems, too, is, maybe if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but I read online, too, that since the Floridian put the new vacation club tower up, that people have been throwing food off the balconies into the water to the gators.
Okay, so there's, yeah, another spot where it could be going on, so.
So I read that, too, so that could be, and then, you know, just by going in the water, there's a reason why, and I know they have the signs up, and who knows if they should have more or less. I don't know. I never felt the need to go in the water, but we listen to all these shows, these podcasts. I know there's gators in all the waters. I mean, I played golf down there. I seen like a 6-footer sunning itself up on the green. We slowly walked up, and then he went away, and I was nervous, and the father and son there were like, he'll go. And I'm like, he'll go. You know, well, I'm not taking a chance on becoming his dinner, because I know that they can run very fast in a straight line. They tell you to zigzag if they're chasing you. Is that true, John?
That's what I've always heard, but like the only ones that we see them sunning themselves on the banks, but usually when you come along, they slide right
back
into the water. So, but I've never ran into one.
And that's exactly what this guy did.
Yeah, I've never ran into one. When I was on land and he was on land, so I've never had the occasion to actually be chased by one. So,
yeah, I hit a really good shot. It's up on the green, and I go walking up, and there's a gator on the green, and I'm standing there like, and the guys are going, he'll go. I'm like, well, you go and make him go.
Yeah.
You know, I don't play well with gators, snakes, stuff like that. I'll fight Mike Tyson before I go near a gator or a snake. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, he finally looked over his shoulder, went down the hill, and back into the water. And we never – it was fine. But he was a big boy. And I, like you said, John, they probably leave them a little bigger around that area than they do around the resort areas.
Yeah.
But you can't keep them all out. It's impossible. It's like getting rid of mosquitoes around here. They're not going anywhere anytime soon.
Yeah, golf courses are, you know, beautiful waterways. I mean, that's part of the playing on a golf course is to have those water hazards.
Yeah.
And if you're going to have water – I mean, we get them in the pools. I mean, you know, a pool at least – 2 or 3 times a year, we'll see a news report where a gator's made its way into your backyard pool. So, I mean, if it's got water in it, he's going to find a way over there. So,
right.
Yeah.
I mean, and we've all become accustomed, at least I have, to the, you know, I think of the beach club where they have those inflatable movie screens where they show the movies a couple nights a week out on the beach. Mm-hmm. And I know they used to do it at the Pauley and a lot of the resorts they do with that. And, you know, I can visualize the sign over at the beach club that says, you know, no swimming or something to that effect or whatever. And I agree with you, Doug. I mean, I would never even consider, you know, again, just because of the years going to Disney World, I know that the waterways or the water is off limits. I mean, I gotta say, I've never seen anybody even walking in the water or, you know, even an inch or two. I mean, I think for the most part, people take those signs seriously and they stay out of the water. I mean, I've never seen it. Have either of you seen guests or anybody else, you know, in or around the water at Disney World?
We did once the very first year at Caribbean Beach, and one of the cast members screamed at him. And I remember any of the beach ones that you checked into. Now, this is just me personally. Every time I've ever checked into a resort that has the waterways like that, one of the things they tell you upon check-in is you ain't allowed in the water.
Right.
It's for sunbathing only. No, you can't go in the water.
Right. Because they have.
And,
go ahead.
Yeah. I'm sorry. And I've always taken that seriously because – but I pay attention to Florida with gators, but there's people across the country that – aren't like we know about all this. Like Diz Unplugged, Pete Warner? Every time he ends the show, he says, "And
stay out of the damn lakes." Yeah,
stay out of the damn lakes is exactly what he says, and that's the reason why.
And that's what I associate. And to be, you know, honest, I mean, I didn't associate it with alligators, with those signs and not having people go in the water. I more thought it was for that bacteria or that amoeba or whatever it is that I guess you can get that very serious infection if you get that the Florida fresh water in your ear certain time of year or whatever it is. John can probably speak to it better, but it's a serious condition, and I thought that's what it had to do with.
No, me, it was always the snakes and because I'm afraid, dude, and this is the truth, and I promise you this, I would get in a ring with Tyson before I would get in a ring with two gardener snakes. It's just, I am afraid of snakes, and alligators are very close. Like, I don't, there's something about the slitheriness of it, you know, I'm afraid of. Now, my brother, he'll pick them up like the, what's it, the turtle man, and he plays with them and goes nuts. But I'm scared to death of any kind of snake, man. I had a 8-foot black snake on my front porch, and it was like I was in prison because I was afraid to go out of the house. My brother came over and grabbed it, picked it up, and was wrestling with it in the front yard, messing with it. And I'm, like, afraid of any of that stuff. So I've always paid attention to the snakes and the alligators. I want nothing to do with them waters.
Yeah, I think you were actually, Dennis, that's what I always associated with, was the amoeba, because, that, I mean, honestly, that's a lot more common than – well, even that's not all that common. I think maybe one or two children a year get, unfortunately, that type of stuff. And it's also important to remember, especially that amoeba stuff, that's in – still water, the lakes, especially at Disney, because they don't have the, there's no springs to them to keep them at a certain temperature, and so the sun bakes them, and it and it makes that that amoeba grow, you know. So like the springs we have in the rivers that flow that have a natural current to them, you're not going to have that problem. So we can go swimming in the freshwater springs all we want, because that temperature stays to a certain temperature, you know, a certain coolness.
Don't
that
get
they
stagnant.
Won't grow in.
It,
yeah,
it,
yeah.
It,
it's the stagnant water
stagnant.
That has that problem. So
no, it's a shame. I mean, I seen on the news the other day that there's a million alligators, and there's an average of 12 attacks a season, and none of them are fatal.
Yeah,
like they not like this. This is like a horrible tragedy is basically what it is.
And we, it's a horrible tragedy, and it's even, I mean, I guess it's even worse because it happened to a family on vacation that had probably been anticipating this vacation for years, and it, I mean, so, and now not only is, are they devastated, I mean, they've changed, it's changed their entire lives, so it's just a horrible situation.
That's what was going on, Dan. They were actually, the night of the fireworks, they were watching one of those movies on the beach.
Oh, yeah, so right.
Yeah, so you were talking about the movie there at the beach, Yacht and Beach Club. They were doing the same thing at the Grand Floridian that night.
Right.
And then the fireworks came on, and supposedly they traipsed out into the water a little bit, which they probably weren't even thinking.
Right.
I mean, you know, you're not. You're on vacation. The fireworks are up. They probably just walked out in the water, and God forbid this is what happened. But it's like, I don't even know if – like, everybody keeps saying more signs. I mean, 9 o'clock at night, I don't know how many – you understand? I don't even know if they'd have paid attention if the sign – at 9 at night, I don't know if you'd have seen a gator on the sign or not.
Right.
Was, I mean, you're not – you know, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It was just an accident that God forbid
happened. It was a freak accident, and we were saying before the show, I think. I mean, Walt Disney World was built in 1971, so it's been 45 years, and – you know, millions and millions and millions of guests have come and gone from the, you know, Walt Disney World property, and there's never been an incident. And unfortunately, this happened, and it's tragic and all that. But from a numbers perspective, it's almost, you know, it's almost like hitting the lottery that this happened. I mean, it doesn't take it back, and it doesn't make it right. And, you know, the chances of this happen again are probably, you know, very, 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 very minute. But
now that it has happened, it's going to even be, they're going to be on high alert.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I mean,
yeah, our Disney World is going to change. I mean, we're going to see, I would think, significant changes in access to the water and signage and all that stuff. And, you know, I guess, you know, in order of safety, they got to do what they got to do, and I understand it. But
I wouldn't be surprised if you see fences go up around the world.
They were putting them in the other day already. Yeah, the fences are up. So.
Yep, and I mean, it, you know, and it's, I mean, I'm sure they'll do it the right way. It won't be like a 6-foot fence or a stockade wall. It'll probably be like a picket fence or something where you can still see the water, but they'll let you know you're not allowed in. Or and not being smart and not trying to sound horrible, but it's also going to change all the gators' lives, and that's their natural habitat too. Like where they're going to put the fences, they probably won't be out of the sun themselves no more.
Right.
You know, stuff like that. What I'm saying is, not to be wrong, it's going to change the whole ecosystem of all the animals in Central Florida, because it's going to change it not just for the people, but for the animals. And I'm an animal activist, too. Like, I love my animals. I take care of them outside. It's going to make a lot of changes for everybody. It's a horrible thing for everyone.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, at the end of the day, with, you know, as they say, or as they say, I mean, human life comes before animal life. And, you know, if it has to, you know, unfortunately hurt the animal population a little bit, and that they can't live the way they're accustomed to.
Well, they got rid of my ducks at the Magic Kingdom.
Exactly. They displaced them. You know, that's what's going to happen. And it's like anything else. I mean, this is the wound is still, you know, fresh, and it's on everybody's mind. But as the weeks and months and years go on, this will, you know, melt away as these things do, and we'll get back to somewhat, quote-unquote, normal. But for the time being, again, it's tragic, and I can't say it enough that, you know, I couldn't imagine being that family. And,
no,
you know,
God bless them.
They're going to be psychologically damaged for life. I mean, even, I just can't imagine, you know, going on and living life after something like that happening. It's just terrible.
Well, God forbid, and God bless them, and hopefully they stay strong, because they have another, I think, a daughter. So hopefully she provides strength for them to get through all this.
So all you can do is say a prayer and move on, right?
Yep. So let's try to get into some happy news. I know our friends Peas and Carrots are down in Florida. They've been sending us pictures. Did you see them?
I did see that. Yeah, I think they're over Coronado, actually, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Where you're going to be soon.
Yes. It's getting a little close for me. Not close enough for my liking, but a little close. But I've been enjoying seeing their tweets and pictures here and there.
Yeah, they said a lot of that. From what I've seen, a lot of the water, the boats and all the boat transportation still not back up and running. Have you heard anything about that, John?
No, I hadn't even heard that they had turned that. Like, what are you talking about? Like the boats on the Sasagula River and stuff like that?
Well, Seven Seas Lagoon and stuff like that. You have the transportation. They haven't had the boats there for a few days. I know they shut them down too.
Mm. So, yeah.
You know, the ferry boat and all the boats going back and forth to them resorts, they had them shut down for a few days. I don't know if they're back up and running yet. So you want to get into some new... Oh, did you guys see the new grand opening of Shanghai?
It's funny you say that. I'm going to be a smart you-know-what. I really don't care. I don't care.
Oh, my goodness.
I do not care. I can't ride any of those. I'm never going there. I don't care.
No, but then, see, this is where this is what I'm talking about with you when I told you to be careful today. The difference is that you can, it does make a difference, because a lot of this technology will come our way.
Yeah, yeah.
You'll get to see it in our park.
Well, then I'll see it when it gets here, right?
Damn, Dan.
You talk about the Shanghai Disneyland.
I just wanted to mention, it's pretty cool, like, a day in history that you can actually get Mickey ears now in Chinese, too. I know you want a set of them with saying Dennis on it, don't you, Dan? Come on, buddy. He don't even want to talk to me.
I'm telling you.
No, but, and the castle, dude, you got to admit, though, the castle is beautiful. It's called the Storybook Castle. It is beautiful, Dan. It's the biggest castle ever built. You should check that out. And the way they did it, there's a lot of, they set the whole castle up to have the boutique in it. There's a royal banquet hall. It is huge. I mean, it has restaurants and everything in the darn thing. I'm excited about it because of all the technology it's going to bring to Walt Disney World myself. So, you could be disappointed then, but
disappointed.
I just
don't care.
You don't
care. No, but it's just like at the D23 events. They do this all the time. Oh, we just bought Marvel. We're going to have this great new attraction. Yeah, it's over in Shanghai Disneyland or one of those parks halfway across the world.
Well,
I'm never going to be there.
Like,
I don't care.
But it will come this way. Like, there's it is here. If you go in the China Pavilion, they have there's a whole display of it. Wouldn't you like to go see the model of the park and all that?
I really wouldn't. I don't.
Oh, come on.
Now, if
man.
I knew it was going to be built in Florida eventually, I would want to see that. But there's no guarantees it's going to come stateside.
But there's going to be multiple rides. There's going to be multiple things that are going to come from this park that will, I guarantee you, a lot of the technology and a lot of the stuff that was built over here in Shanghai, if you look into it, will be a part of Toy Story Land and Star Wars Land.
Okay. Now you're...
I'm telling you. You be old crankity Dennis. It's okay.
That's just such a pet peeve with me, that all that stuff. And like I said, I'm not just picking on you because you're reading the story, but they do it at D23 all the time. It just seems like all the cool stuff is stuff that we're not getting in Florida, and it irks me. I don't know.
Well, they're probably feeling the same way because they come here and they're like mad that they're not getting Test Track and all the rides that we have.
Yeah, but I don't care. I live... This is my park. This is my park. The Disney company is, you know, it's stationed out of the United States of America, so we should have everything first.
Oh, I know, but the Enchanted Storybrooke Castle is very beautiful. It's a very nice. The park really looks good, and the thing I like about it is they didn't totally knock off. It doesn't look like any of the other parks. It's its own unique park, so it isn't Main Street and everything the same as what Disney World and Disneyland is. They change it up quite a bit. So if you become happy one day and you feel like looking at it, go over to Disney Park Blog. You'll get some really good information on it. So get into the news you actually care about.
In fact, I'm happy to read a Star Wars story rather than.
There you go.
Oh my goodness.
Let's see. A video was released. The Galactic Spectacular now playing. Okay, so this spectacular is now playing nightly at the Hollywood Studios. I take it.
Yes, it is, and thank God something's playing there. We need stuff.
The new show features multi-channel surround sound, massive projection mapped movie clips on the Chinese theater, lasers, lighting, low-level pyrotechnics, and fireworks launched from the park's new launch site. And they show the video here. Let's see. Unlike recent fireworks shows at the studios, this one is best viewed from the center stage area with the action taking place throughout the area. The fireworks are also off to the far right side and are not very visible from further back on Hollywood Boulevard near the main entrance. The 12-minute show is currently performing nightly at 9:45, but check time guides for changes. So, John, have you seen this yet or no?
No, we saw they had done the fireworks a couple of months ago. They had changed it to the Star Wars fireworks every night. So we saw the actual fireworks, but we haven't seen, because now they have the projections and the laser lights and all that stuff. They added all of that on just this last week. So, we haven't got out there within a couple of days to see that. But we are going to try to get out there to see the 4th of July fireworks. I don't know if that'll be a different show or if they'll just have the Star Wars ones that night. So.
I mean, the artist concept on the site here looks beautiful. I mean, it takes in the Chinese theater there as part of the show, and the projections on that building and the surrounding buildings. It looks awesome. I mean, the presentation of it looks awesome.
The video was awesome. I think Carmen and them could see the fireworks from the resort last night at Coronado.
Wow, that's
yeah. They were shooting up there. They said they could. They tweeted something out that they seen the fireworks were going on in the background. So
it's just funny. The crowd. There's everyone. Not everyone, but a lot of the guests have a lightsaber as you're looking at this. So these are your people,
John's
John.
John has a lightsaber in one hand and a bass ale in the other, and he's living the dream, right?
That
John?
would be a good time. So.
Yeah. I can hear him now going. Wah. As the show's going on.
Actually, one of my Father's Day presents today was a Darth Vader muscle shirt. So I have that on. Right. I have my lightsaber and a beer. I'll be all right. So.
Yeah, it's like a 15-minute show. I seen the video of it. I mean, it's pretty cool. Like, it starts off real dark with the lasers going over top of the Chinese theater, which the Chinese theater really looks regal in the video. It really looks awesome. So... I'm excited to actually see this fireworks show. And I'm also excited that, being it's a Star Wars show, it's going to clean out the other parks when I'm down there at night.
It's going to...
I'll be able to get a front row seat at Illuminations, buddy.
It's going to disperse the crowds evenly across all of Disney property.
Absolutely. You know the geeks of the Star Wars fandom are going to be over there at night.
Yep.
I think you got to... They probably have somewhere... You got to see this show 100 times to pledge your allegiance to Star Wars. It's pretty cool, too. Like, the Star Wars logo, actually, it's all dark, and the Star Wars logo appears with all the lights are off on the Chinese theater, and the Star Wars logo is up in the center sphere on it. It's really cool.
It is. It is. Yeah. They've done a good job with this.
Yeah, as good as Star Wars could be. Did I say that
no,
out loud?
Yeah.
No, I mean, considering there's been nothing there previous to this, it's good that there's going to be I guess if you count Fantasmic, there has been something there, but at least there's going to be something in the center of the park like the rest of the parks have now.
Yeah, what they do is, too, I don't know if you've seen this, it has like C-3PO and R2-D2, and all the characters appear on the center... Sphere of the Chinese theater.
Yeah.
It's really
the video
cool.
Video projections.
Yeah, it's really cool. It looks good.
It is. Let's see. As Doug mentioned, Inside Shanghai Disney Resort exhibit is now open in Epcot's China Pavilion. So you can see the model. I would think it'd be something like they typically have inside of One Man's Dream when they had the like the Animal Kingdom exhibit and stuff. You can see what the Imagineers were planning or did plan and actually see it in scale. But, you know, get a bird's eye view of it, if you would.
I could see Dennis now walking in there with his family. Ah, who gives a crap about that? Ain't my dream. What man's dream?
And I'm going to bet you something. I bet you the next time you go to Disney World and you go in the China Pavilion, I'll bet you there'll be three people there looking at it, because I'm going to guess that most people agree with me that maybe won't voice it as I did, but they really don't care. Tell me what's coming to Florida. Or tell me what's coming to California. I'll listen. I could care less. The people will not
relax,
care about
Dan.
This.
Take a breath.
People
take
will
a
not
breath.
Care about this.
I do.
John,
I want to see
what
it.
Do you think?
If there was a model of that, and then a model of Star Wars Land, Toy Story Land, One Man's Dream, I would spend my time looking at the model of Toy Story Land and Star Wars Land. So.
Well, as much as you're there, you'd look at all three. Don't be favoring Dennis.
In general. When I say nobody, I don't mean nobody, literally, but by and large, people, you know, why would you care about something that's going to happen 3,000 miles away, and unless you're going to be traveling there in the near future, which I don't know about you, but I don't have any plans to travel to that part of the country anytime soon, you're never going to see it, so why get all jazzed up over it?
Well, if I could fly, I would, but I don't like flying, right. So, but I enjoyed seeing the stuff. I watch it. Enjoy it.
All right.
Everything that the more they build this stuff, the better the technology is going to get for our park.
This is true.
So that's my deal. The more chances they get to make something, the better off our stuff's going to be. More guys will be taking their erector sets home and making more soaring rides for us. The more parks that they got to fill with entertainment, and the more parks that they have, the more demand there is for them to put stuff in. If you understand what I'm saying. You know, they need to buy more franchises and do more things to keep all these parks filled. So, and they need to raise ticket prices.
Yeah, that's why I was surprised you were talking about it, because I know they were making...
No, it's finally open. Right. It might stop the bleeding of the money.
Because that's what they were saying. That's why ticket prices went up so much, was because of Shanghai Disneyland that went up.
Well, then push it, Dennis, so people go see the darn place so our ticket prices don't keep going up.
All right.
Work with me here, Dan. Yay, it looks great. Go see it, guys.
All right, let's see. Yeah. Yeah, next story. More smoking locations eliminated at the Magic Kingdom. Two locations have been removed. The first near the entrance to Adventureland and the second in Tomorrowland near Space Mountain. Today's changes leaves just two smoking areas inside the park. One at Storybook Circus along the path to Tomorrowland, the second in Frontierland across from Big Thunder Mountain. One additional smoking area has been made available outside the park near to the ferry boat queue. So consult your guide maps if that's something you need or are interested in.
Oh, thank God I don't smoke. You look at the people, they look like criminals hanging up here, don't they? I mean, we took my mother-in-law down, or my stepmother, not my mother-in-law, my stepmother, and she was still smoking. And it was so annoying. It's like we had to take her to a smoking spot, the one that was over by the castle down on the side. You know where I'm talking. There was one down there.
Right.
And we're standing there the whole time. It's between the castle and going to Tomorrowland. There's an area where they had it. And we're all standing there, and I felt like one of the silverbacks in the cage with everybody looking down at me, waiting for her to smoke. And it literally felt like I was there for an hour.
Right, right.
For a 10-minute cigarette. I'm like, really? You're killing me here. I think what they should do is take a part of Tom Sawyer's Island and make the idiots take a raft across to smoke.
You know, what happens to us every time, it seems like every time we go to the Food and Wine Festival or the Flower and Garden Festival, I get the food and we find and look over there and there's a nice shady spot with a bench and you head over there and sure enough, nine out of 10 times it's a smoking section. It's not a gun.
Of course, that's why the table was empty.
Exactly. So...
It's like sad. I feel bad. Like the guys on my job site, the other day it's pouring out And they're all standing out by the fence with their heads ducked over. I'm watching them out the window. I'm like, it is that bad, man. Really, you got to stand out there in the pouring rain. And they're smoking like fiends. They look. I was like, what is wrong with you? Stop it. And they're like friends of mine. I'm like, please quit, man. I mean, it ain't even good for you. I mean, it would be like, you wouldn't see them out there, though, drinking a protein shake. You know, nothing good for you. You're going to go stand out in the rain. But to go smoke, you will. I don't know. But like I said, they should take a big area of Tom Sawyer's Island and just have smoking rafts and make everybody look like idiots going across the smoke.
Let's see here. Magic Kingdom Meet and Greet Shuttle. Shuffle. A number of changes have been made to the Magic Kingdom's character meet and greet lineup. These have been happening fast and furious. Beginning today, several changes have been made to the character meet and greet lineup, with Anna and Elsa moving to Epcot's Norway Pavilion. Princess Fairy Tale Hall is now home to Cinderella and Rapunzel, each with a separate line, joined by Princess Tiana and Princess Aurora. Anna and Elsa can be seen in both Festival of Fantasy Parade and Mickey's Royal Friendship Fair. Daisy Duck is no longer appearing in Town Square, but can be found at Pete's Silly Sideshow. Finally, Snow White has been moved to the Town Square courtyard by City Hall. So, get your characters.
Yeah, there's meet and greets everywhere now.
Yeah, a lot more than they used to have. Back in the day, it seemed like it was just, the regular, the Fab Five and a few others sprinkled in. But now they got a good array of off-the-beaten-path characters, or characters that you may not expect to see.
No, I like it. It's like very festive. Like, I don't get my pictures taken as much as John does with the characters. I don't have that fetish. But
jeez.
I'm just kidding, man. But, you know, as you come walking into like Animal Kingdom and stuff, that was funny. There's a bunch of characters there. Isn't it like festive, though, when you're seeing all the kids get excited and running and getting their pictures taken and all? It kind of like starts the morning off nice, in my opinion. Or when you're at Epcot, the double-decker bus, you'd see all the characters getting off the bus. You guys ever seen that?
Yeah. That's
a good time.
That was the one that when my son was 15 months old and getting real comfortable walking and running, that was the bus would show up there at Epcot right there in the middle every morning, and that was his favorite thing in the world to do for about a good year, and just running up to them characters. And that was back when it was a lot more casual, you know. But you had the problem was that people would butt in front of you constantly, and that's why they had to go to the more where you have to wait in line specifically, and there's handlers out there to really make sure you wait in line, because I can't tell you how many times the people butt in front of you, especially you butt in front of a child. I mean, really?
We've had that happen, like I was talking about over at the Animal Kingdom. Like, know how it's like pretty free spirited there in the front of there where you walk out? I mean, there's not line, there's not like ropes or anything like that.
Yeah.
They'll have five or six characters hanging around there, and then like we had my godson there. It was the same thing. It's like, and I just told him, yo, Jim, just relax. They really need to get to that character really fast. You know, like I'd say it out loud. They're gonna explode or something if they don't get to him in 5 minutes. I mean, it's like, there's kids there. Pay attention. You ain't the only one there. But yeah, it does get crazy sometimes. It's like they're giving away something for free. Let's go get it.
Yeah, exactly. Let's see. Mickey's Royal Friendship Fair debuts at Magic Kingdom. Along with the new show came the first appearance at Walt Disney World of the new look Mickey and Minnie Mouse. The video below, well, we won't talk about that. In Mickey's Royal Ship Friendship Fair, Mickey and his troupe of merrymakers have been preparing to host a joyous festival and have ventured far and wide to invite friends from other lands to join in the celebration. From the land of the bewitching Bios, Goofy has invited Tiana, Naveen, and Lewis to add a little spice of New Orleans jazz to the party. From the land of enchanted woods, Donald Duck brings some new friends to meet the snuggly duckling, and Daisy introduces us to our special guests, Rapunzel and Flynn Rider. Finally, Mickey shares a surprise with Minnie as he has traveled the land of the Mystic Mountains to invite Olaf, Anna, and Elsa, who contributes a blast of her icy magic. All It all culminates in a grand dance as the Merrymakers invite all their special guests to join in on the fun on this special day. Mickey's Royal Friendship Fair is performed daily with showtimes typically 10:30, 11:30, 1:05, 2:05, 4:15, and 5:15. Check your guide map for potential changes on any given day.
I won't be seeing this unless I'm passing by, but again, I love all these new stage shows and stuff because they free up all the other rides for me.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of like these. I usually, when they have a new show, I'll watch it through at least once in my travels, and then from there, I'll do what you do, Doug, and just catch it going to and fro, but I'd like to at least watch it once to just see what it's all about.
When we're there all day, I probably see it. Because they do the shows multiple times. I probably see the show once through the nine times I pass by the castle. You know, I'll get this part at one time, this part at another. We'll stand there for 5 or 10 minutes and watch a little bit, then we move on. I could never stand. I'm too fidgety. I could never. It has to really, take me, really. And I have to really be enthralled in it, if you understand what I'm saying, into it, to stand there for that long of a time. Illuminations, wishes. I can deal with that, but the daytime shows don't seem to suck me in as much as the nighttime spectaculars, though. But that's just
I mean, they're obviously a little shorter, and they're more geared towards the kids, you know, than they are. Some of the nighttime ones are geared towards kids as well, but there's an adult facet to it, too, I guess, I would say, and they tend to be a little longer.
No, I'll be buzzing through and hopping on something. I'll be getting on a Yo-Ho, Yo-Ho, Pirate's Life for me while you guys are watching the show. What's next, my brother?
Let's see here. Lacoste, now open at Disney Springs Town Center. Lacoste is now open, and it's located next to Sephora. The store offers the brand's signature polo shirts, footwear, apparel, and accessories.
I wonder if they'll put Mickey ears on some of the polos.
Yeah, that wouldn't be a bad idea. Operating hours are 10 a.m. to 11 p.m. Sunday through Thursday, and then they're 10 a.m. to 11:30 p.m. Friday and Saturday night. So if you don't have enough shopping hours on Friday and Saturdays, you got some extra time to get in there. But again, it's just a retail store. I mean, it looks like they got some cool stuff. I would imagine it's on the pricey side, but that's just my guess.
Yeah, I've only seen the shirts before. I mean, they got sneakers and shoes and all kind of things. I've never even knew that they had shoes and everything. So, I mean, you'll get to learn a little some. I probably won't buy anything like you said. I don't. They aren't my favorite. They've never been my favorite. I've always used to pick on that alligator shirt when we were growing up.
Right.
Really, did I know that it was good stuff and I was wearing the garbage? My polo was actually not as good as that person's polo. I'm like, look at that idiot with the gator on his
right.
shirt. You know how you are as a teenager.
Yep.
Then you realize, man, I got to get me one of them gator shirts.
Right. Let's see here. Sasagula Floatworks and Food Factory closing for lengthy refurbishment. Beginning on July 11th, the food court will be closed until the fall, with a reopening date not yet confirmed. A temporary location will be available near the lobby, serving jambalaya, gumbo, po' boy sandwiches, béarnaise, and other hot and cold entrees, and a range of grab-and-go items. The Disney dining plan will be accepted at the temporary location. In-room pizza delivery will continue to be available for p.m. to midnight daily. Bus transportation from 7 a.m. to midnight will also be available to the nearby Mill Food Court and Boatwright's Dining Hall at Riverside. So this is the first I've heard about this. They're going to do a renovation over at Port Orleans, right?
The French Quarter. Yeah, I read about it. It came through on my travel agent blog on the site, and I was reading about it because we were looking for, you know, I'm still not knowing when we're going to be able to go, what dates or whatever. So I've been trying to spottily, because Riverside's been booked, and this has been one of the other options that keeps coming up. And I find it's going to be crazy that over at Riverside now, without the food court being opened at French Quarter. I find it funny that they have a bus to take you to and from. It's not that long of a walk.
You know, it isn't. I've done it many times, and you've mentioned that you enjoy that walk from resort to resort. And yeah, but well, then again,
I think it might take you longer by bus.
Yeah, but you got to think of elderly and parents with small kids that they got to lug around, and it may not be feasible to actually do the walks. Nah. So it makes sense that they would have the bus transportation.
Depending on what room you're in or what building you're in, actually, I would think the walk may be shorter to head over to the food court yourself along the Sascagoula River than to actually walk all the way back up to the front and then get on a bus.
Yeah, true.
You know?
Exactly.
It depends on what building you're in, I suppose.
Yeah, like what Dennis was saying with the handicap and stuff like that. If you need a wheelchair or a scooter or something, it might be easy. Well, the scooter, you could shoot right down the river, too, because it's paved
right.
All the way. So take that. And it's a nice stroll with the family. If you have kids, put the kid in the – by the time you get the stroller on the bus, you can walk over.
Exactly.
You know, with sometime how it is. That's one of the things that I love and drives me insane. That the parents have the stroller and don't know how to put clothes in. Have you ever noticed that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You're sitting there on – it's like, how do you have – I know you just probably bought it for this trip. But like me, I'd be putting that thing up and down like 15 times before I was even out in public.
Do a dry run, you know?
Yeah, exactly. You'll sit there and you're on the bus and you're waiting, and the next thing you know, 5 minutes goes by, 10 minutes goes – and they're still trying to put the strollers away. And no, I just love the people with no consideration, don't you guys? The whole world revolves around them. They don't have any clue of what they're doing. They don't even know what they're doing wrong. And I'm not even talking about that. Like normal people in normal life, every day you run into that person that has no clue on what they're doing.
I got on the monorail one time when my son was young and folded up the dang stroller and uncorked the bottle, and the formula spilled all over the interior of our stroller, and we didn't even know it until we got the stroller back out at home. Oh my goodness.
Oh,
that so is, you're the reason the monorail stuck like that.
I was gonna say, yeah, that, well, it probably was my fault. So. Oh, that's terrible. No. Terrible smell.
No, but you get the one, they'll keep it in the I've been there's been some times where I've seen them in fights with the bus driver because they don't want to fold it up. They want to take it on the bus. Yeah, the baby's asleep in it. Yeah, well, then, I don't know. The guy's doing his job. Like, you'll literally hear him fighting with the bus driver. They want to leave it in the aisle.
Right.
If you had the parent that wants to keep the stroller in the aisle.
Yeah, I think it's regulation. They can't do it. So that you're right. They're just doing what they're told to do, and it's not an option. They must be folded up, and that's the way it is.
It just cracks you up. It's like the entitlement of some people. But no, take the walk. It's a great walk. And I've said it a million times. I like that when we do take Disney transportation, because you know how that is. A lot of times they stop at French Quarter first and then do the whole loop at Riverside.
Right.
And me and Brenda will hop off and we would go to that food court, because they have different offerings in River, the old mill. And some of the pastries and stuff like that, we would stop over there, soak up some of the French Quarter atmosphere, the ambiance over there, and then walk home. And a lot of times we just get off and walk because it would be faster than taking the entire loop around, depending on – because if you're staying in the Oak Manor area, Dennis, by the time it stops at the front, goes all the way around, it takes a while to drop off.
That's, I'd say it's a good 12, 15 minutes from, to go all the way around. And, most bus drivers have to stop and actually open the door of the bus, even if there's nobody at the stop, right? So.
Exactly. And then if you also have – you could read the clientele on the bus, the patrons, and you could tell who gets off fast and who has what, and you see the kids sleeping and stuff like that. You know it's going to be a long day before you get off that bus. So if you hop off at French Quarter, if you're staying at the Oak Manor, the mansion side, that's the closest to French Quarter.
Right.
Just hop off at French Quarter. You're right at the front. It takes 2 seconds to go from the front of that building to the river almost. It's not a long walk. And then you get to see that resort and then walk right down the river. I think it's faster to get to the mansions than it is to take the bus.
Yeah, I think it definitely is. And once you've been there a couple of times, you learn that. And, if you don't want to just take that long ride loop around Riverside, you've learned that. And, I'd recommend that for sure.
Because the mansion's the last stop.
We do the same thing on the boats. We get off the boat at French Quarter and then walk back from there, because that way you get a taste of both ways. You get the nice boat ride and a nice walk along the river. So.
See, I do that when there's somebody on the boat I'm, like, getting annoyed with. My wife will go, let's get off here before I say something.
You get annoyed with like, people, Doug?
Huh. Yes, exactly. But, you know, you'll have that. You'll have certain people on the boat. My wife will be digging her fingernails into my hand. Like, I'm laughing because I can see the times that this has happened where she don't want me to say anything, where there's something going on the boat that she knows is absolutely driving me nuts. And I'll feel the nails going into my hand and the palm of my hand, and she's like, don't you do it, giving me that look. And then French Quarter will be coming out of it, like it'll light up. Like I could just imagine her when she sees the French Quarter dock, like, it's my savior, we're going to get off here. She'll go, let's get off here, honey. And I'm like, why? She goes, let's get off here. I want to see this resort. But you've only seen it 20 times. But I know what she's getting at. She wants me off the boat before my big mouth opens.
Let's move on here. The Walt Disney Company donates $1 million to aid those affected by the Orlando shootings. This is a statement put out by Disney earlier in the week, but we are heartbroken by this tragedy and hope our commitment will help those in the community affected by this senseless act, said Bob Chapek, Chairman, Walt Disney Parks and Resorts. With 74,000 cast members who call Orlando home, we mourn the loss of the victims and offer our condolences to their family, friends, and loved ones. The One Orlando Fund will provide funds and other services to individuals affected by the tragedy. You can read more about it at oneorlando.org. Disney is also providing complimentary accommodations for the families and friends of the victims. So that was nice that they did that earlier in the week.
Oh, absolutely. Very nice. I mean, it's just so sad every time you see any of those. I couldn't imagine, John, what you're going through down there. I mean, and I can, but, you know, it's like the news constantly between those three. I know the local news has been nonstop. It's probably very sad. That's like, at least we have other things going on in our community that they're reporting, but your local news is, that's probably like the first 15 minutes now of every newscast. It's
every newscast, it's constant coverage, and then they break in for 30 seconds for the weather, and then it's right back to it. And there's a, you know, probably at this point during the week, there's a 3, 4, 5 funerals every day, so they constantly barraged with just this horrible, horrible tragedy. So
no, it's a shame.
But I mean, on the positive, it is great to see the all of the area theme parks, Disney, Universal, SeaWorld, all contributed to the funds. The airlines have done amazing things in getting people down here. The sports teams in Orlando are selling T-shirts in their colors for the, you know, for supporting the Orlando United Fund. So, every time there is a tragedy, at least the community does come together to really support those in need. So that's good to see.
The one thing I will take my hat off to Disney and they've been one of the forerunners or front runners or whatever. They've been a long time. They've been supporting the gay community, and I give them credit for that. And they did a good job by helping out here. So
yeah, and I mean, as you know, this was a gay nightclub that the guy shot at, but it affects more than just the gay community here. I mean, the rumor was that he had actually scoped out Disney Springs the week before.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, if people are thinking this is just a hate crime against gays, this was just a hate crime. He's just a monster. So it could have really happened just about anywhere. So.
Well, God bless everybody that, you know, this happened to them and their families, and good job, Disney, in helping out here, especially, you know, besides giving $1 million, giving free spot to stay and stuff like that. They really did, you know, all the, like you said, all the parks and everybody in Orlando, even the first responders and all. God bless all the cops and everybody down there. You know, it takes a special breed to do what they did. So God bless all
of them
and their families.
The Orlando Police Department did end up, because of their quick reactions and stuff, managed to save quite a few people that this could have even been worse without their good work and quick response. So
great job. Hats off to you
guys.
Yes,
yes. Let's see. Moving on to the next story here. Royal Summer House, frozen meat and Greek construction at Epcot's Norway Pavilion. Is this done
Yay!
Yet?
No, it opens on June 21st. Everything.
All right, so.
This is a soft opening. I know John was there. Were you there with your margarita? Oh, the margarita stand closed.
Man, it was pick on John Day, I tell you. Hey, he was the one,
John,
that hated the new park. So.
Not me. Dennis was.
Dennis was. Go pick on him.
I'm trying, but it's too easy.
Exactly,
the stuff
right.
is in your wheelhouse right now. Next week, it'll be Dennis's turn if we're on certain stories.
So, wait.
You guys get me plenty.
Yeah, we're talking a mere handful of days here, and this whole area is going to be in these construction walls are going to come down. It's going to be nice to have the Norway Pavilion back, without any construction walls and the new attraction and the meet and greet and all that stuff. I'm kind of looking forward to it, to kind of just getting back to somewhat normal, if we're calling what's going to be there normal going forward. I mean, from a crowd perspective, I got to think this is going to be a pretty hectic place once it gets opened and everything it has to offer is open.
I mean, all the pictures of the building, it looks beautiful. The architecture really looks nice. The new meet and greet facility that they built there, it really looks good.
It does. I'm just...
Did you see any of it, John?
I saw the video the other day. I think it was the Disney food blog went in and did the meet and greet. The only thing that I noticed that different when me and my wife met Anna and Elsa at Magic Kingdom a couple of years ago, you got the picture with them together, and this one it looks like you meet Anna first, and then you go over and meet Elsa separately, so you don't get the picture together. So, but
yeah, it's their summer home. It's based on a historical log cabin in Norway. I don't know. I mean, it's in Norway, then. Does it make it a little authentic for you?
Yeah.
It's a historic cabin.
It's just like the...
the historic Norwegian
the
cabin.
Stave church.
Yes. Yes, it's in kind of in the same... but it looks good, Dan. I think you'll enjoy this. But believe me, I'll miss Maelstrom. I miss the authenticity of it. But it will be good for the kids, I will say that.
Well, yeah, Frozen's so popular. I mean... they will be flocking to this attraction, and rightfully so.
I mean, and they did, you know, the one thing, like, we do give Disney credit, they did keep the architecture to actually go with, they didn't turn it into Fantasyland, from everything I'm saying.
No, it looks authentic. I was just going to say that. It looks like a building they added or whatever, they have that, the green roof there with the live vegetation on the roof. I know the building out front always had it, but I didn't think any of the buildings in the rear of the pavilion had it, and it looks like now it does. So it looks like they kept that same architectural feature.
Yeah, it really looks beautiful. I can't wait to roam around there. I mean, I'm not excited about the meet and greet, but I am excited about the new ride. I mean, I'm looking forward to see videos on that on the 21st, because you know they'll be up and running.
Yeah, the first run through it, and they'll be up on YouTube, right?
Yep.
Yeah, you'll have 15 different
yep.
sites. I wonder if our Peas and Carrots will probably have video.
Are
on
they
it.
Down there through
they're
the 21st? Yeah.
Yeah, they're there from this Sunday to next
Sunday.
Oh,
awesome.
Sunday.
So.
Well, they checked in last night, but I think today's their first full day in the park.
Right. But you know how she puts her stuff out. We may not see it till Christmas, though.
No, exactly, but it'll be cool to see it. No, unless she does it, she'll probably periscope it.
Oh, actually, she usually does, what do they call that, like a synopsis. She'll do a quick overview of everything, and then she'll put the detailed stuff out in sequence over the next few months.
Yeah, because she did do a couple periscopes last night. She did one from her room, too.
So that's exactly what she'll probably do.
I was actually leaving Target talking to her in Florida. It was pretty cool texting her. She goes, "Is this Doug or Dennis?" And she goes, "I could tell by the writing it's the good-looking one, Doug." Oh, did I say that out loud? No, I'm just kidding. She said, we wrote back and forth. I said hi to Brian. But no, it was fun. My wife's like, "Come on, let's leave." I'm in the parking lot of Target texting back and forth with Carmen on Periscope. It was fun. But they do a good job with that. They had a really nice room over... Their view from the room is very nice.
Oh, and we already said that. They were over at Coronado.
Yeah, they had a nice
room. I don't
room.
Know what it is lately. There's a run on people we know staying at Coronado, myself included. And I don't know if it's...
Well, you chose it. But, dude, I've literally looked at probably 15 different weeks right now. Just for, you know what, and giggles.
Right.
And I cannot find a full week at Riverside.
Wow. Unbelievable. Well, The resorts are full, that's for sure. I mean, I know it was always tough getting into Riverside, but, you know, if you usually you could get in there somehow or another, but it seems like as of late, it's pretty booked up.
Now, I just muted that and coughed. Did you either of you guys
no.
hear me?
I heard you cough.
Yeah, now, for some reason, I'm muting and it won't, so I apologize. The reason I brought that up is because last week's show, with me and my voice, I heard it twice last week, so I apologize. I'm doing what I can, but my computer refuses to agree with me on this.
Yeah, it's all good.
But yeah, check out Peas and Carrots Periscope, absolutely. Guys. You'll enjoy them.
And that's all I have for stories this week, unless either you two have something.
No, I'd bring up more Shanghai stuff, but I don't want to get yelled at.
You gave me some homework from the podcast you guys did during the week. You wanted to hear my five that I miss.
So, all right.
Yeah, well, I was just going to ask you. Look at him taking over control of the... I'm the anchor man here. You're the Keller guy. No, but yeah, that was really where I was going to go next. You're reading my mind.
All right.
It's getting scary. I feel sorry for it. If you get into this tangled web, you might not leave with all your marbles. So what would be your five, partner?
Well, a couple that you guys mentioned that I totally agreed with. Actually, my wife agreed with you, Dennis. The Vinylmation trading is like one of the things that she misses the most. Back when we started first going to Disney, my wife is a kind of a shy, timid person, and pin trading became like almost like a therapy for her, because it really enabled her to get out there and talk to people and to meet different people and stuff like that. And then Vinylmation was just on top of that, so it was a thoroughly enjoyable thing for us and meant a lot to her. And it was a lot of fun, too. And now that's taken away, so she misses that a lot.
Do you think they took it away for the reasons I did, John? Like, it's just it doesn't gain anything to the bottom line for the company, the cast members. You know, they're interacting with guests, but it's not making them any money, right?
I think that maybe that's what they were thinking. But to tell you, the fact is, since that they've stopped that, we've bought two Vinylmations. I think maybe three, and before that we were buying one every time we went out there, at least one, and so because we knew we could trade it if we didn't get one that we liked, and now you can't do that, so we don't purchase them unless we know for sure that we're going to get the one that we want. So I think in the long run it hurt their bottom line, or at least for us, you know what I mean? So
yeah, because I totally agree with you. I mean, it kind of took the fun out of it for me, and I've totally gotten out of the whole Vinylmation. I mean, I'll pick one up like for Food and Wine, or a commemorative one that they might put out for an event I'm going for, but other than that, I don't just buy them because I like them or I think this one looks cool or whatever, in part due to the fact that Disney is, I look at it as they've kind of stopped supporting the whole franchise. And, I guess this is good for you, bad for me. Well, I guess bad for you too, but you'll know this. D Street over at Disney Springs, I mean, it used to be known as the Vinylmation store. It was 90% Vinylmation just a year ago or a year and a half ago. And now if you go in there, it's all Star Wars. And I get it. I know it's a popular franchise and they want a retail location down there for all that merch, and makes total sense. But if you go in there, you'd be hard pressed to find a half a dozen Vinylmation, it seems like. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. And with all the retail space that they built, that they added on, it seems like they could have just made another storefront for the Star Wars store, and actually maybe even themed it a little more to Star Wars and left D Street alone. But
right. Or go, one way or the other. But I think your point is well taken. There's plenty of square footage down there that they could have put three new stores up. A Vinylmation store, a Star Wars store, and they could have done whatever they want. But it tells me that they either think that the Vinylmation craze is over, or, it's not as profitable, so they're not going to support it, or, whatever they're thinking. I mean, it's just not something that they, it just seems like the buzz is gone from it, and they'll release them, they'll have them, but they're not going to go over the top with, different retail locations. And I don't even know, maybe I know they used to do the annual Vinylmation, the trade show there over at World Showcase, which I used to go every year. Do they still even do them anymore? I don't even know.
I haven't seen anything about that at all. No, yeah. I haven't seen that in a couple of years, I think. Right. So, yeah, I think you're right. I think the craze is done with, because there for a while they had the little ones you could trade, they had the bigger ones, and even Park Stars they had that you could trade. So there was like three different types you could trade and everything. So, but yeah, that was her number one, the things that she missed. So.
Well, just so you guys know, today saw Disney Shanghai Resort grand opening with a new concealed vinyl nation series. So they have vinyl nation over there, and they're really into it. Man. Yeah. So just I'm reading the article right now. I used to go back and forth. The series includes Minnie Mouse, Donald and Mickey, Minnie Mouse, Donald Duck and Daisy, plus Chippendale.
Nice.
See what you guys are missing out on, Shanghai Disney?
I think I'll book a vacation there later in the summer.
I heard there's three meet and greet stores that you can trade there.
Actually,
come on, guys, I gotta have fun.
It's funny you say that, Doug. I mean, I know with pins, and I suspect with Vinylmation too, the folks over there go so crazy for these collectibles that they had to stop releasing stuff at the parks because there was almost like literally almost riots over there. They, you know, as crazy as some of the collectors are here in the States, it's just over the top over there. And they, for people's own safety, they had to, you know, people were showing up, you know, a couple days in advance and, you know, refusing to get out of line. And it was just crazy over there. And they had to literally stop all that stuff because people were, you know, in fear of people getting hurt.
I'll tell you what, they're really cool. I think you guys will really like the series. It really looks nice. It has, like, Mickey on the top of a box that has grand opening, and he's in, like, a clear case. It kind of looks like now they have the snow globes that Disney sells.
Yeah.
Cause we have a couple of them. My brother and my sister-in-law bought us one in, like, 99. It has a car. And it's on vacation. It's like the driving to Disney World. It's my favorite one. Because it represents us driving down there all the
right.
time. But they have this in the globe, and it's on top of the box, and it shows grand opening. It really looks cool.
Awesome.
Sure you guys would like to trade for that.
Yeah.
Too bad there's not a place anymore. So what's next, John?
I miss the original test track. Kind of like the new one, but I miss the original, and I actually like the queue of the old one a lot. I found it a lot more interesting than the one that we have now.
I agree with you on the queue. Like, on two parts. There's one part, I like the parts and the motors and all that stuff because I'm a motorhead. I like Street Outlaws. I watch that on Monday nights. I love that show. I used to drag race years ago. So I was into seeing the parts and motors and the cars and all that stuff. But I do like the interactiveness of building the car. I think it's good for the kids.
Yeah, that's
kind of fun.
I think it gets
fathers and kids and fathers and daughters into building the car and all. And it kind of, once you get into that area, if you notice, none of the kids are—they're all into it. It does take their attention from being miserable in line. If that makes any sense to you.
You want to know a little hint about that ride, guys? If you're out there with one or two kids and if you're out there with two kids and you want them each to have their own car and you want to do one yourself, you can make you're only going to be able to make one while you're waiting in line because they're going to put the three of you together. But if you go to the, go before you get in line, go to the other side where they have the car displays and stuff and walk back there. There's a couple of stations where you can make your own car and load it onto your Magic Band and then go wait in line and make your other car. And then when you get up there, everybody puts their Magic Band on there and you can actually have everybody will have their own car instead of the same one. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm in. Me and my wife love to compete. We will be making separate cars because me and her fight every time we do that. She wants this car. I want that car. And I admit, we're both brats when it comes to that. We want our own way. So that is a good tip, isn't it, Dan?
Yeah, no, that I had never heard that before. And that's an awesome, if you didn't know that, you wouldn't know that. So you listen to the WDW Main Street podcast, you learn something.
Yeah, walk.
Yes, that's awesome.
Walk past where where all the Chevy cars and trucks are sitting out at, and there's a couple of stations back over there where they have the other stuff. And I think there's actually like 10 or 12 stations, and usually they're free, and you can go right up there and hit your Magic Band and do your car, and then you'll have it for yourself. So it'll save it right to your Magic Band. So
now answer me this: can you use that car again every time you ride?
Yeah, last time me and my son rode it. I let him do one, and I tried just for the heck of it, and hit my magic band, and yeah, it had the one that I had designed probably 4 or 5 weeks before. So it was still
and
on.
Who
there.
Won,
so,
John? Who won?
So,
whose car won?
Let's see. you guys mentioned 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. Or
no, you missed what I said, John. I said, whose car won out of yours and your son?
Oh, I'm sorry. He did.
Good. I'm glad to hear that now that you weren't paying attention.
I thought he was ignoring you, Doug.
So did I. I thought I was talking to my wife.
No, I'm sorry. No, he won because he doesn't care about the environment. So.
That's it. Throw the kid under the bus on Father's Day.
There you go. So.
So now go to your next one, John.
Yeah, you mentioned what your wife was saying, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. That was one of my favorite rides when I was a kid. So, also,
I wish I'd have got to see that. I've never, it was like, you know, gone when we, my first time there, because my parents didn't love me as much as my wife's did and never took me. So, but no, I would have loved to have seen that. I mean, it seemed really cool. I know it was the one at Disneyland. I know was they say it's a little better than the one that was at Disney World. Did you see the one in Disneyland then?
No, I have never seen that. I've seen the videos of it, but I have not. But you're right. I believe the one at Disneyland was the original and the best, or you know, if you want to call it the best.
But I know the new, I think at Disneyland, they have it with Finding Nemo now. They kind of converted
yes,
into that.
Yes, that is correct.
But, so what did you miss about that, John? How cool was it? You did it as a kid. What did you like
about
it?
Well, you know, growing up in Florida, when I was a kid, I had big dreams of being a marine biologist and stuff like that. So I was fascinated with that, and I've always liked to read. So just the Jules Verne novel, and then it was, I don't know, it was really cool just being in a submarine. And it wasn't until I was probably, I was a little bit naive as a child, but it wasn't until I was 11 or 12 that I finally figured out that we actually weren't going deep into the oceans.
Your dreams
but that's
were
the great
shattered.
Thing about yeah, that's the great thing about being a kid, though. Because you have those fantasies,
yeah.
You know. You can, your imagination is incredible as a kid.
Yep. So, yeah.
You know, that's the great thing about I haven't grown up yet, so I still have a pretty good imagination.
another thing we missed was, I don't know if either of you guys did the Alien Encounter when it was out there before it changed to Stitch.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we did it. It was okay, but and I don't like Stitch either. So
yeah, I prefer Alien Encounter over the current Stitch
me too.
Myself.
I love that because I mean it was really cool the first time you went on it, but then the second and third time it was just great to see all the people terrified. That
yes.
was a lot of fun.
That was more fun than the attraction itself.
Yeah, you're right, because it was pretty scary. It really was. So.
Yeah, see, that's why I didn't like it. I admit, I've always, and I even took my wife, because it showed how much I liked her when I met her. I told her it was love at first sight. Our very first date was Silence of the Lambs. And if I didn't like her, I would have never gone to see it. Because I've always had this logic of, why do I want to pay to get scared? I just think it's dumb.
Yeah.
Like, I'll scare you all you want for free if you want me to.
It's funny you say that. That's like one of my favorite all-time movies is Silence of the Lambs. If that's on and I'm flicking through the channels, I'll watch it. I love that movie.
Yeah, and that was me and my wife's first date. And I loved the movie because it was our first date.
Right.
But I would have never – and I even went to see a couple other scary ones. And then once – we were engaged. The scary movies ended. I was all front. I like comedies. I like to be happy. I don't like to – like, I get mad, like with the Halloween stories. Like, okay, we're missing five people. We're going to continue to stay here in the woods. And we're going to play Monopoly. I mean, it's like – the scary movies insult my intelligence. It's like – it drives me insane.
So you're saying you're never going to make it down here to Halloween Horror Nights at Universal Studios?
Never,
that's what
ever,
I'm hearing.
Ever. Ever, ever, ever. You know, the Headless Horseman on Main Street is fine by me. I like the Haunted Mansion because it's lighthearted fun. But, if you put me in Hollywood Horror Nights, somebody would get knocked out. It's just my natural reaction. If you're putting your hands on me, grabbing me, scaring me, I would flip out. Just, no, that wouldn't. I'd be in the hoose cow, as they call it. At the end of the night, I'd be getting bailed out. Dad, I don't play well with that stuff. We used to have a place called Brigantine Castle down here that it didn't work out good for me. It was scary. But no, I would like to see 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. The other one Alien Encounter, I like better than Stitch, but I'll pass on both.
Yeah. kind of miss the Skyway. I don't know if you ever got a ride that before that closed.
Yes, my wife didn't remember it was still there, and I've gotten arguments with people that was actually there. The launching areas are still at the park.
Columns. Yeah.
But a lot of people don't remember that. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do remember it. I never rode it. And in fact, when I first started getting into pin collecting, I have a pin that commemorates that. So I know it was there. And you're right. There are some of the concrete bases, for the stanchions that used to go up that carried the ride vehicles, if you will.
I think they got rid of it because they don't want you seeing the roofs. I think it took away some of the... I loved it as being in construction and all, seeing the park from that high up. But also, you got to see the roofs of a lot of the buildings that weren't as pretty as what it is from the ground.
Yeah, you definitely get to see backstage, if you will, all the streets, like, you know, behind Main Street and stuff like that. And to be honest, I mean, that technology, I think they got rid of it because it was kind of, you know... I'm going to say theme park-ish. I know it's a theme park, but I mean, those things existed in every theme park across the country almost, and they weren't unique to Disney. So I think that's why they got rid of them too, that they just weren't, you know, Disney quality. It wasn't a Disney quality attraction, I guess.
Yeah, I think maybe if they could have thought of a way to really theme it up a little bit or something like that, make it more of an alpine ride or something like that, maybe they would have kept it. But yeah, you're right. I mean, it's kind of, they have one at Busch Gardens, and, you know, I think they have a couple of Six Flags and stuff like that. So it was definitely not unique. So, but
yeah, they had that at Six. They have it at the Great Adventure by us too. It's, you know, you got the idiots throwing stuff out of it. I think that's the other reason.
Yeah, you're probably right,
teenagers.
Yeah, I think that's one of the main reasons. Get knuckleheads up there with, candy and stuff like that, tossing it out of the ride. And it was probably too much aggravation to deal with. So what's next, John?
And then I would say the number one that I miss, as much as I liked Off Kilter and like you guys said, the... Fife and Drum Corps. I missed that a lot, and I got some nice pictures of me and my son with them back in the day, and it did give us a feeling of patriotism before you went in and watched the American Adventure. But I really missed the World Showcase Players and the stupid Shakespeare play they used to do in Great Britain. And I played Sir Lancelot, I think, 14 or 15 times during our trips to Epcot.
Wow.
So I've got at least 4 buttons still floating around that says Honorary World Showcase Player. So,
when you possess the guns that you have, John,
it was usually my red face and beer in my hand that went, there's a target. So,
yes, I don't know. I think it's the guns with those tank tops, buddy. I think that's what drew them in. I've seen your guns there with Chippendale.
I don't know. I don't think you've become the Sir Lancelot 14 times by accident. I think you were kind of a groupie or something.
Yeah, he was paying somebody off. Here's 2 shillings.
No, good for you. That's cool, because a lot of people shy away from stuff like that. So if you can poke fun at yourself and have fun with your family and stuff, that's awesome.
Yeah, let's poke some real fun. You got to put some of them pictures up on Facebook now, buddy. You have any pictures of you being Sir Lancelot?
I got pictures of me and my son with the showcase players, but I don't think my wife actually, because that was back in late 90s, we didn't have a phone, you know, you didn't have the phone camera then, so it was just our regular camera, and I don't know if we managed to grab any or not. I have to look through everything and see if I can't find
some. If you do, take a picture of the picture with your phone, and you can post it. I do that all the time.
Okay.
Yeah, they come out really good. You just got to get the right angle. But now we have to see that. And the greatest thing is, do you hear I'm going on the Mickey dudes, guys, they recruited me. I'm going to be going on their show next month to fight Dave over park hopping.
Oh, boy,
so
careful.
I'm looking forward to that. My wife told me I should play the Rocky music in the background as I'm getting on the show. Din, 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 din.
Remember, it's all fun now. Remember.
He's going to get banned. I know it.
No, I'm looking forward to that, though. I'm looking forward to that. I don't know how you wouldn't want park opera. I can't wait to see the angle coming from
that. From what I've heard of that show, Dave's a little opinionated, too. So I think maybe we're going to have 2 bullheads here.
Yeah, well,
I'm glad it's on their show and not ours. So if they get their rating changed or something, it'll affect them and not us.
No, I'm looking forward to it, though, because you know I don't take no very easily. No, but it'll be fun. But there's no way. I'll just stand by the arguments I've already made. It's a no-brainer. You know, so But I got hence who I'm arguing with, so it won't be a problem then.
Yeah, that'll be fun to listen to. That's next month. You're doing that in July?
Yeah, I'm going to be recording one night in July with them guys. I'm looking forward to it. They do a great show. Go over and check out the Mickey Dudes, and you can even listen to Dave, too, if you want to. All fun. All kidding. No, they do a great show. And I look forward to being on there, and I look forward to talking to you guys again next Sunday to do another wonderful show about Walt Disney World. Hopefully it's a little more lighthearted than this week.
It can't be worse than this week, so it will be a better week for sure. I guarantee it.
No, so our thoughts and prayers again go out to everybody affected by everything going on in Orlando. And sorry you're listening to all this, John, but I know everything is going to be sunny, hopefully, eventually on the other side.
Yeah, you know, the light's at the end of the tunnel, and you just have to get through a rough couple of weeks here. So,
and that'll be it, guys. If you can, we really appreciate our friend Lisa. She went over and gave us a review on iTunes, so thank you very much, Lisa. She said she discovered us a while back and can't get enough of our show, guys. Can you believe that?
Oh, that's totally believable. How can they not get enough of us?
No, but she said she really enjoys our show, and we really, really appreciate her leaving us a review.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you very much.
We need more of them, so please go over to iTunes and leave us a review. We really, really appreciate it. It helps us on our let's just move up the charts so you guys can find us easier.
Yes.
And go over to Twitter. You can follow John at Beer Solo, Dennis at Oak Manor, me at Grumpy6767, and you can find us all at WDW Main Street. And we will talk to you guys next week.
All right. Have a good week, and see you later.
Have a good
later,
week,
guys.
Fellas. Bye-bye.
Caballeros, Ricky Caballeros, they say we are birds of a feather. We're happy amigos, no matter where he goes, the one, two, and three goes, we're always together. Oh, we have the stars to guide us, guitars here beside us. Play as we go. We sing and we samba. We shout.
Ay, caramba!
What means ay caramba?
Oh, yes. I don't know.
We're three caballeros, three gay caballeros. They say we are birds of a feather. We're happy amigos. No matter where he goes, the one, two, and three goes, we're always together. Guitars here beside us to play as we go. We sing and we samba.
Well, guys, that's going to be it. Me and Den's going to hop off our stools, pay our tab, and get on out of here. This show is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel. For all your travel needs, contact American Tourist Travel at 856-227-9200. If you need a nice home in the Central Florida area to go visit Disney, Universal, or any of the fine amusement parks, and you want to stay outside the parks, contact the Elite Vacation Homes at 888-510-6679. They have a home to fit any size family. If you need a scooter in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at 855-939-7266. And if you want to rent a vacation club on Disney property, contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at 800-610-5791. And you can also find all of our fine sponsors at our website at www.magicalmainstreetmemories.com. And please, guys, go give us a review over on iTunes. That's going to be it. Thanks again, and thanks for listening. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.